Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode and a great episode of Events with Benefits. This is a podcast designed to help nonprofit organizations raise more money and achieve greater success at your fundraising events. Now, my name is Danny Hooper. I'm a professional fundraising auctioneer based in Canada, and I'm back down here in Laguna Hills, South California, with my friends Renee Zhao from Donation Match and Ian Loth, the Vice President of Marketing at Winspire. We produce this this show out of the headquarters of Winspire here in Laguna Hills. And Renee, our guest today is going to be of interest, I bet you, to 99% of our listeners. So we're talking social media today.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping that every organization out there has a Facebook page. But as you'll hear today, having a page, even posting to it once in a while, isn't necessarily going to be enough as the world starts getting more visual and photos and even videos start to come into play. And, you know, Jerry here talks a lot about how to even make it easier for you to be able to capture and take advantage of that fact.
Yeah, Jerry Potter is a social media guru, former radio personality, now a professional fundraising auctioneer up in Seattle, and I've met him and done some work with him. He does an absolutely phenomenal job, but he is a social media guru. What I found really interesting on this episode is that he's referencing things that developments in the world of social media as current as a week ago. And there are new platforms and new tools and new techniques, new strategies, breakthrough strategies happening almost on a weekly, if not a daily basis. And it's all designed to make your job easier in getting your message out on social media. Ian, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely one of our better episodes, I think, in terms of really relevant and timely material, especially when it comes to marketing your event on Facebook. And, you know, it's can seem like such a simple thing, but it can have such a dramatic reach, and it's such a great platform for posting things about your event as it leads up to it, specifically right marketing your auction items, announcing special guests, keeping people informed about the event as it draws nearer. And he has a really great tie. He not only does he give you kind of the 101 basics of creating a Facebook event, but he also ties in some fabulous tools that you can use to really create those viral pieces of content people are actually going to want to watch and share. And it really comes down to video. And I know we've talked about video before and the importance of it, but that comes especially in handy when it comes to promoting the event. And there's some fabulous tools that I know I was shocked. I'm sitting here still looking at these websites, and I'm excited to use them myself for our marketing efforts. So real good nuggets here today. People stick around for it.
Yeah, this is a very, very valuable episode. And let's say hello right now to Jerry Potter from Seattle. Well, Jerry Potter, CMO of Mastodon Media and the host of 5 Minute Social Media on YouTube. It's a great channel that you're going to want to check out. Jerry, how are you doing?
Very good. How are you guys?
Excellent, bud. Now, you have a ton of experience in marketing events, and this is something that is going to be of widespread interest to our listeners here on Events with Benefits, and driving that promotion primarily through social media. Now, just before we get into that aspect of our conversation, maybe just a little bit of your background. I know you are a very, very successful fundraising auctioneer up in the Seattle area, and maybe just share a bit of your background with us.
Sure. Yeah. I got into fundraising auctions when I worked in radio. I worked in radio for 25 years, like you, Danny. And I was in Charlotte, and the local art museum asked me to come out and help with their annual auction. And I did it 3 years in a row. And I enjoyed it because they said I could bring a bunch of friends who could eat and drink for free. But beyond that, it was just really great to start, raising money for a cause. And upon moving back across the country to Seattle, I had a few friends that are auctioneers. And so I started working as a contract auctioneer through a couple of other companies. So that was kind of the auctioneering part of it. In a few years ago, transitioned from full-time radio to full-time digital marketing. And I just am obsessed with social media and the incredible potential of what you can do with it.
All right, let's just a little sidebar here for a moment. I know that lots of times organizations, the first person they will turn to in their community to conduct their auction is a media personality, a radio or television personality. And I know how you feel about that now. I know how I feel about that. And I always believe that it's a lot smarter move to bring in a professional fundraising auctioneer. So who better to answer this question than somebody like yourself who came out of media and you segued in and became a professional certified benefit auctioneer specialist. In your own words, added value? Was it a smart move for your clients?
Oh, 100%. And it's funny, you kind of are putting me between my friend groups. You know, I have my radio friends and my auction friends, and obviously they each have their opinions. But no, I'm 100% in the camp of you're going to hire a fundraising specialist and you're going to easily make more than enough to pay for them. I ran into the same boat too. I've done some stand-up comedy, and coming from radio into stand-up comedy, there's a lot of radio people that try that, and comedians apparently hate that as well. So, It's everything that I try, I go into 100%. I don't expect that because I know one thing that I know how to do something else. And as far as fundraising auctioneers, it's definitely worth the investment.
How much do you think you multiplied your value to your clients becoming a fundraising auctioneer versus just the media personality?
Well, being a media personality gives you the ability to speak on a microphone and communicate. One thing it doesn't necessarily give you, and especially if you're talking about mass media like radio, is the ability to read an audience or even read an individual who is bidding on an item at that moment, or read their significant other's body language and whether they want to keep going on a certain item. It doesn't give you the ability to understand what a lot of these organizations are going through and what they mean. So I would say that probably fivefold. I would say that I probably got five times better once I did some additional training and learned more about these organizations. And a lot of it is kind of the psychology of the bidder.
All right, excellent. Well, let's bring the conversation back then to what we started talking about, and that is driving the promotion for your event through social media. And what thoughts do you have to share with us?
Well, Facebook is the one I think that is the best for event marketing for most organizations. If just to run through them really quick, Facebook is the social network that everybody is on, and that makes it a good place to be. You can share all kinds of different content on Facebook, whether it's video or links or texts, blog posts, all those different types of things. Twitter is fine if you're on Twitter and you like it, but there are a lot of people that are not on Twitter. Instagram is growing incredibly quickly, and it's a great storytelling platform, I think, for people that are putting on events. However, you can't have links on your Instagram post. So that makes it hard for event marketers to push ticket sales and things like that, because you have to send them somewhere else in order to get there. So same thing with Snapchat for the most part. And of course, there's still LinkedIn and Pinterest and YouTube, and they all have their purpose. But I think as far as event marketing goes, there's nothing stronger than Facebook.
All right, let's just do a hypothetical case study. I'm a new client, a nonprofit. I'm coming to you to get some advice on setting up Facebook promotion for the event. Where do we begin?
The easiest and most obvious and most affordable option is to create a Facebook event. These have been around for a long time. They started off kind of on personal Facebook pages where you could have an event for your birthday party and you can invite all your friends. Your friends could chime in and say, whether they were going or not. Afterwards, you could share photos in the event and things like that. And they're still very popular for that. But over the last few years, they've become a great event marketing tool. We talk a lot about how 2017, and certainly as we head towards 2018, we are in the age of social proof. And that is where people want to know what other people think about you or your brand or your event or your organization. Occasionally I'll come across a business owner or a nonprofit or anything like that where they don't even have a Facebook page. And that makes today's consumers a little suspicious, especially the millennial generation, where they're looking at it like, well, don't people want to review you? And don't you have fans? And don't you have people that already like what you do? And if that's missing, people tend to get a little suspicious about it. So Facebook is the sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought there, but Facebook is the place to start building.
Okay, so let's talk about the various building blocks that Facebook enables you to incorporate. So what do we start with?
Let's start with a Facebook event. That's where I was kind of talking about. So you create a Facebook event. It's super easy, just like any platform you go on. You put in the dates, the times, and go from there. And you can add pictures and tell people more about your event. And that's the basics. That's what most people do. The next step, though, is making sure that your Facebook event actually reaches people. And so just a few tips that I use with my clients. For one, when you're naming your event, you want to keep it really, really short. Some people tend to have very long event names. They all of a sudden, instead of the, you know, charity gala, it's the 37th annual Royal Quintessential Ultimate Night of Joyous Occasion and Fundraising. And, you know, most of us have short attention spans these days, and it will get cut off very quickly on a Facebook event.
Okay, let me stop you right there. How would you suggest that client rename that event?
Well, a few of the adjectives would probably just have to go by the wayside. You got to assume that people will only see 3 to 4 words in most cases. Facebook only gives you 64 characters, so there's not that much anyway. But you may want to put in there, for example, if it was a children's hospital event, you know, you might just put children's hospital fundraising gala instead of saying the 27th annual children's hospital fundraising gala. Afterwards, you can add more information if you have space, but you want to make sure that those first few words convey exactly what it is.
All right. So we've got the name down. Where do we go next?
Next, you want to choose an image for your event. And we've come a long way in marketing. It used to be try and get as much information onto a poster or a flyer as you possibly can. And Facebook is very protective about the news feed. So if you make your image a flyer with all kinds of text and logos and things on it, they're not going to show it to people. They're going to consider it spammy. So when you're choosing your image, you want to choose an image that basically represents what you're doing, something that will look good on a smartphone, because that's the size that most people will see it at, just a couple inches wide, and really conveys what you're trying to do. You do not want to add a lot of text on it, though, because that will actually slow your reach on Facebook because of the algorithm.
Okay, so how much text can you overlay? Suppose you're using a platform like Canva to overlay some text onto your image. How much are you safe using?
I love Canva. I would argue for none if you can help it.
Really? Just Facebook. Let the picture do the talking?
Yeah. Well, and right below it is going to be the title and then the description and the dates and times. Facebook actually says up to 20% text is okay and shouldn't affect your reach. So if you're looking for a number, then 20% is probably what it would be. And the way they measure that is if you put a grid over your image that was, say, 5 boxes across by 4 boxes high, that would be 20 squares. Only 5 of them should have any text in it, even like the edge of a letter. And Facebook actually has a website where you can upload images and they'll tell you whether it's going to affect your reach or not.
Wow. Okay. So what else are we adding in? What if you want to incorporate a video?
If you want to incorporate a video, they've actually just I don't know when this happened because I just saw it the other day. So I think probably in the last week here, Facebook has added the ability to have a main video instead of a photo. The downside of that is, again, you're battling people that are scrolling through their news feeds and also possibly watching TV or unfortunately also driving in traffic or who knows what they're up to while they're doing that. So you really want to be able to grab their attention. And if your video is not attention grabbing, or if somebody has their device set so that the video doesn't autoplay, then they may just see a still of something that's not what you intended with a play triangle on top of it, and they may not even bother to hit play. So videos on events are relatively new. That being said, once you've published an event, you can then post in the event kind of like you would on a regular Facebook page, and that's where you can share more videos and stories and things like that.
All right. Can you add buttons that people can touch on to link through to, say, somebody like Eventbrite to buy tickets for your event?
Yep. Every Facebook event comes with a designated slot for buying tickets. And so whether you're using Eventbrite or Brown Paper Tickets or whoever, you can put that in there. If it's a ticketless event, you just leave that part blank.
All right. So do's and don'ts then for people when they're you've already shared a number of things, but do you have any other do's and don'ts that maybe we should pass along to our listeners here when you're creating your social media marketing?
Yeah, if you're creating an event, some people are hesitant to mark that they are going to an event because they're working there. However, something has to get the ball rolling on your event. You know, they say nobody wants to be the first one to a party, and nobody wants to be the first one to click to say that they're going to an event. But we're in this age where we're all connected and online. And so the faster you can get people to say you're going to the event, the better. So the first thing you want to do is everybody that's in your office, have them go on there or that's part of your organization and actually mark that they're going so that when people start seeing the event, it says at least 4 people are going or 17 or however many people you can get. So that's a great do that people don't do often enough for some reason. Another thing is to invite friends. Don't invite all of your friends, but have the people that are going to be working the event invite the friends they think might actually be interested in going. Facebook limits invitations to 500 people per individual Facebook profile account. I'm not saying that all of your people should invite 500 people, but again, invite people that they think might be interested. The don't is don't invite everyone. At that point, you're spamming. And if you invite too many people that don't respond, then Facebook will cut off that number early.
Wow. Okay. So what are some other, aside from Facebook, well, just before we leave the Facebook conversation, let's talk about buying ads on Facebook. How does that work?
Well, you can boost a Facebook event just like you can anything else on Facebook, or almost everything you can on Facebook. And this certainly gets a little deeper, and there's a few routes you can go. The first thing you can do is you can just click boost on any event and start putting in people that you are targeting. So let's say if you were doing an event in Los Angeles, you might put in Los Angeles and then tell it to make it a 10 to 25 mile geographical radius around the center of Los Angeles. If you're more specific than that, if you're doing a fundraising event for like an elementary school, then you might actually put in just the zip code that the elementary school is in. So you'll start off by choosing who, like geographically who you want to target. Then you want to target age ranges. If it's a 21 and over event, you don't want to waste any of your money targeting people that are 19. Then you want to go through, and then that's when you can put in interests. And Facebook knows far too much about us, or far more than most of us would probably be comfortable with. I don't know about you, Danny, but sometimes when you see something in your Facebook feed, it's like, how did they know that I like this? This is kind of creepy. And from a marketing standpoint, it's amazing. But from a personal standpoint, sometimes it can be a little bizarre. But you can go in and you can search people who like nonprofits, or if you are putting on a 5K, people that are runners, or if you are raising money for a children's charity, you could actually look for people who are involved with other children's charities. You can really find the specific people that you're looking for your event. That's the basic level of Facebook advertising for an event. Now, if you want to get more specific, you can actually go in and I actually heard Claire talk about this on a previous episode when you guys were talking about this, but I'll just recap it really quick for anyone that missed it, is you can create what's called a custom audience. Most organizations have an email database, and you take those emails and you download them into a spreadsheet, upload them into Facebook. And assuming that the email you have matches the email that all of these individuals use on Facebook, it will create an audience exactly of those people. And it's a very efficient way to spend your marketing budget, because that way you are not wasting money on people who have no interest whatsoever. This is already a warm audience of people who you have decided to, that they've already expressed an interest in your organization and helping out with your event potentially.
Great. Jerry, how does Facebook go about charging for this, and what kind of dollars should an organization be budgeting to spend on Facebook if they are going to drive those ads or that message a little bit deeper into the marketplace?
Well, the most basic answer to that is that it's different for everybody and every organization. Prices are based on a few different things. It might be based on how competitive the area that you're targeting is. It might be based on how competitive some of the categories that you've chosen are. You know, they have, you know, we talk about auctions, and a lot of the times you are auto bidding on advertising on Facebook. And so it's kind of based on supply and demand. That being said, for a small event, you might be able to reach a good number of people for $20 or $30. And for a bigger event, you could easily spend, you know, 100, 200, 500, or even into the thousands. It all depends on how many people you're trying to draw. But they say that sometimes somebody has to see something 7 to 8 times before anybody is actually willing to take action and buy a ticket or RSVP or whatever else it might be. That's why some of those other tricks I mentioned earlier were, you know, have your employees mark that they're going and then invite people that they know that might want to go, because those are all, you know, that's all free advertising. It takes a little bit of time, and time is obviously worth something, but it's definitely a way to stretch your budget. One other thing I'll mention too is Facebook's entire algorithm is based on showing people things that they like, because they don't want them to leave Facebook. If your content makes somebody leave Facebook to go to YouTube or whatever it might be, well, Facebook's not going to want to show it to people quite as much. But if people like and engage and comment on your event or your posts or whatever it might be, anything on Facebook, they're going to show it to more people for free. And you'll get more of what we call the organic reach. And that's the free reach, which we're all kind of striving for. Even for the clients that I spend money marketing, we're all still trying to, you know, we're trying to spend, you know, X number of dollars to get, you know, more organic reach as well.
Yeah. So I'm just going to back up a little. I'm a little bit confused. You say the first thing you want to do on Facebook is go and create an event. Is that different than creating a Facebook page for your event, or is it the same thing?
Oh, no, no, no. It's very different. I apologize. I guess if you were going back to the very first thing you were doing as an organization, then yes, the first thing you would do is create a page for sure. I apologize. I was assuming that, that yes, the page already existed.
You were assuming that I was pretty literate in social media, which I'm not as up to speed as many of our listeners will be here on Events with Benefits. But okay, so you're creating a Facebook page then for the event, right?
Well, first, no, you create a Facebook page for your organization.
Right. Okay.
And then you create an event within that for your specific event. Exactly.
Got it now. All right. You have some opinions on the importance of having quality photos and how important it is to gather good photos at your events. What suggestions might you have? And what's the least expensive way that we can go about capturing good images?
I'm glad that you brought that up. Yeah, I spent a lot of time on Facebook and all of the social networks, and we are a very visual society these days with short attention spans. And, you know, whether you like that or not, that's just kind of the way people are headed. There are certainly still some very popular blogs and people do still read, but we're kind of moving into the age of photos and videos. And essentially you're battling that attention span on any social media feed as somebody is scrolling. And so that's why those images are so important. So, going specifically with photographs, if you can have a professional photographer come out to your event and capture it, that's fantastic. You know, that's the best of all worlds. But sometimes that can cost hundreds of dollars, and that comes out of the money that you're raising, and you may decide that's not worth it. So to back up from there, you could literally have an intern walk around with any modern smartphone and take some great pictures. You just want to keep a few key things in mind. The number one thing you want to keep in mind is lighting. When I work at an event, if I'm in charge of photos, I will try and take as many pictures as I can earlier in the evening. Sometimes when you arrive at a venue, it's still daylight outside. There's much more natural daylight and much more natural light, and that actually takes much better photographs. So take as many as you can earlier in the evening. The second thing that I would suggest is take lots of pictures of people close up. A lot of the time when we're at these events, I do this too, you go, oh, wow, look at this event. And you take it all in with your eyes and you look around. And so you take a big wide picture of the room. Well, next year when you go to do your event again, or when you're posting a recap, you know, the next day, and you post it online, and then somebody sees this wide picture of the room on their smartphone at, you know, 2 or 3 inches wide, all of a sudden, it doesn't look so spectacular. You know, it's kind of the difference between a picture of the Grand Canyon and actually standing at the Grand Canyon. You can't take it all in a picture. So you're better off going up and asking people if you can take their photos, and take photos of fun, smiling people that look like they are happy to be there. You know, look for photogenic people. And I want to clarify, I don't mean photogenic as in you know, magazine cover model photogenic. I mean, photogenic as in people that, you know, will be able to convey through a photo how much fun they had simply because their smile is so genuine. So take lots of pictures of people, preferably in groups, because people alone at events kind of defeats the whole point of an event, which is getting people together. And then the last thing, again, which comes back to the lighting, you know, if it is not, if there's not lots of natural daylight anymore, just try and take pictures facing a window. Never take pictures in front of a window because you'll just get a dark silhouette of whoever you're trying to photograph. And avoid using the flash if you can. External light is always better than the flash on your phone.
All right. Some excellent tips there. How often should you be posting something about your event on your Facebook page?
This is, again, something that varies for everyone, but I will tell you how much it's evolved in the last 2 years. For my clients, 2 years ago, well, actually, let me go back 3 years. 3 years ago, I was working for a radio company, and they were having us post on the radio station page 24 times a day. They wanted a new picture every hour on the hour, or a new post of some sort. Well, over time, Facebook continued to evolve their algorithm. And about 2 years ago, for some of my clients, we would post 3 to 4 times a day. And then about a year ago, we were down to about once a day. And now for the majority of our clients, we post about 3 times a week on Facebook. Now, I will preface that by saying that we spend a little money to boost all of the posts. And the logic behind that is if, and sometimes it's literally $3 on a post, but the logic behind that is if you have, let's say you're sitting down to plan the next month and you come up with, you can come up with 30 posts for the month, one out of every day. Well, 10 of those are going to be much better than the other 20 posts. So if you're in the age now of boosting to reach people, you're much better off boosting those 10 posts to more people than watering down the content. Because by the time you get to the 27th best post, it's going to be a lot worse than the 5th best post. So for most clients these days, we post about 3 times a week and we spend a few dollars on boosting it. Now, if you have an active audience and you're not interested in spending any money boosting, I would certainly say you could still post every day. But less is more and quality is more important. Because that's the other part, is creating these posts all take time. And you're better off spending twice as long creating 3 posts than creating 6 posts.
All right. Great advice. Now, you, let's take a second and talk about, you know, you say post quality or make quality posts, and we're talking about quality imaging. Let's talk about some of the tools and some of the platforms that are out there and available for either free or a nominal investment. And I mentioned Canva earlier, and maybe you can just talk quickly about Canva and what other platforms are you seeing out there that can kick up the quality of your images?
Oh, yes. I'm excited to talk about this, and I didn't know you were going to ask that.
Exciting questions. This is what I do.
Well, so, yeah, quality is important, as you mentioned, and Canva is a great tool. And for anyone not familiar, Canva is kind of like Photoshop for dummies. I strived to learn Photoshop so many times in my career and then always just kind of went, oh, this is too robust. I don't need this. Canva, it runs in a web browser. It's not even a program that you download, and you can make incredible posters, graphics, resumes, flyers, you know, social media posts, anything and everything in there, and it's super easy to use. Another tool that is similar is called PicMonkey, which is PICMonkey.com, and it has slightly different tools. As time has gone on, the two programs have kind of started to steal each other's features. But I find PicMonkey is quicker for just editing photos if you're trying to, you know, make them look nicer or crop them or anything like that. The latest thing is some of the amazing video tools that have been coming out. And we are moving into the age of video. Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, has said that in 4 years, Facebook will be 100% video. That's his expectation. And I don't know how true that will be, but we're certainly seeing more and more video as we scroll through Facebook these days, certainly than we did a year ago and way more than a few years ago. And so there's more and more tools that allow you to make videos so easily. And my favorite one that I'm excited about right now is called Lumen 5. Brand new, just came out of beta recently. And Lumen 5 will actually take a blog post that you've already written and turn it into a video. And so you can take one of your well-crafted blog posts that has gotten some good eyeballs on it and turn it into a video in about 10 minutes.
Now, how do you spell that? How do you spell that? Lumen 5?
Lumen 5. It's L-U-M-E-N and then the number 5.com.
5.com. Okay, yep. Lumen5.com.
Lumen5.com. The way it works, you put your link in for your blog post. It pulls all the text and images out of your blog, and then it'll let you go through and click on the most important lines of your blog. If your blog's not too long, it may be every line, but you click on the most important lines of the blog, and then it uses the words in those lines, and it has this huge database of public domain and Creative Commons images and videos, and it pulls them in based on the words in there, and it'll basically turn it into a video with the words on the screen. And if you look at the video and you think one of the images is way off, you can certainly swap it out for a different image from their database, or you can upload your own images and video clips as well. You can even add a logo in the corner, add music. And the amazing part is that there is a free version that you can pretty much do all of this with. At the end, there's just the little Lumen 5 logo at the very end. It's not even on there the whole time. So just an incredible tool for turning your blog posts into videos. The fastest, easiest way I've seen to create video content, especially for nonprofits where you already have all of this, you know, incredible verbiage that's been written and tested and put out there.
Very cool. We stumbled across one here just a week or two ago. It's called Promo. And have you had a look at that?
I have not, no. What's Promo about?
Promo is very, very cool. And what they have is a huge, huge database of short little HD video snippets and 4K video snippets. And you can create beautiful marketing videos that you use in your social media. And they allow you to you take the little videos that they have produced. And they're absolutely amazing on just about any topic. And then you can overlay the text and you can select music from their data bank there and incorporate the music. And then you can use these little videos for a little 15-second to 20-second hits on your social media posts and stuff. Very cool. So it's just called Promo, and the website is What is it? We've got it up here right now.
It's Slidely. So slide.ly/promo.
There you go. We share
Very
a lot
cool.
of information
yes.
on this podcast. It's crazy. We're giving away too
and
much
those
for
tools-
free.
Those tools seem to, there seems to be a new video tool coming out twice a week.
Well, that says
days,
something
so.
About the importance of video and the prevalence, you know, and where the world is headed. There's no question at this moment in time that video is the best way to get your message across.
100%.
All right. Here's Ian Loth right now, our director, our vice president of marketing at Winspire. And Ian's got a question. Ian?
Yeah, so I think you probably already covered this, but I totally agree that video is an absolute crucial part of marketing, and I love these tools. We're actually taking a look at Lumen 5 as we speak here, and I know I'm very intrigued. What are all the best ways to use video besides just posting on your timeline or posting on an event page?
Well, video has so many different places that it lives now. And each one has its own benefits. Since we were talking about Facebook, we'll start with Facebook. Facebook is not a place where people run channels necessarily, but Facebook is a great place for storytelling. Now, rumor is Facebook is trying to encroach on, you know, YouTube's market and may become a place where people do have channels about cooking and things like that. You know, Facebook has its own app on Apple TV now where you can just watch Facebook videos. But as of now, it is a great place for storytelling. It's a great place for 10-second videos, and it can be a great place for 5 or 10-minute videos. YouTube, on the other hand, is a great place for that same storytelling. However, YouTube is really a great place for evergreen videos. And by evergreen, I mean videos that will still be relevant in a year or two, or forever, for that matter. Putting a video on YouTube about a story that is really topical today and nobody will care about in a week is a waste of time for most organizations. It's not a waste of time for E! Entertainment Television, because that's their whole thing, and they've got a massive audience of followers and subscribers. But, you know, for most of us, that's not the place to go. So, for example, my YouTube channel, I teach people how to do the best social media in the least amount of time, because I'm a kind of a productivity geek as well. But I don't put social media news on there because not enough people are going to see it before it's irrelevant. Facebook is great for that.
Jerry, where can our listeners find your YouTube channel?
Easiest way to do it is just to go to my website, which is 5minutesocialmedia.com, all spelled out, F-I-V-E, social media, 5 minutes, sorry, socialmedia.com, and there's a link right there at the top. And then the other part of video is this, you know, this new age of expiring video, most commonly known as the stories format. And this is on Instagram and Snapchat primarily. And if you're not familiar, this is where someone can post 10 to 15 second video clips or photos throughout their day. And they go up onto what's called a story on, again, Instagram or Snapchat. And then it's there for 24 hours and people can view it. And then it's gone. And I really think that this is going to be a big part of the future of video as well. The greatest thing about it is it has gotten people to be more genuine and authentic on social media. And so many of us were so protective of our image and ourselves for so many years. And I just think social media is better than it ever has been because of this specific thing. You know, you've heard about somebody's, we've probably all joked about one of our friends' perfect Facebook life. You know, all their photos are perfect. You know, they all look like they're out of an Apple commercial and things like that. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, in real life, our hair is not done in the morning and sometimes we have stains on our shirts and that kind of thing. Well, this idea of expiring social media as opposed to something that lives on a timeline for, you know, a century has really gotten people to open up and be more genuine and authentic. And I think organizations can do that same thing. So the stories format is vertical, which changes things up a little bit, and you can add all kinds of things to the top of it, different, you know, stickers, as they call them, or the time, or hashtags, or different things like that. And you can do them in the moment on a smartphone, or you can also, some companies are pre-producing them ahead of time and then putting them up in batches so that they look a little bit more professional. But in the event world, I really think stories can be great because you can post a story from every event that you do or every event that you're a part of. You know, you get there, you introduce the night, talk about what you're going to do, post a couple of interesting photos of things that are happening at the event, maybe somebody that's in costume or a really intricate dessert, then, you know, some quick video clips of the actual action of the event, if it's a, you know, if it's an auction especially, and then end with kind of a recap of the night. And all of a sudden you've got this 60-second produced video that took you a total of 3 to 5 minutes to make. And you can also download it and then share it on Facebook or Instagram, you know, in the traditional feed or different places like that. So this new vertical disappearing video format, as I call it, I really think is going to become more and more important and prominent as we move forward.
Okay. So once again, which platform is it that allows you to do the short little story video?
Instagram and Snapchat both have it. It started on Snapchat, so they get all the credit. Instagram stole it and then called it Stories as well. They didn't even change the name. It does actually exist also on Facebook and Facebook Messenger, but those are much, much less popular. But if you've ever logged into Instagram or Facebook Messenger, you see the little circles at the top of the screen. Those are people's stories. You can click on them and watch what people have been up to, and organizations for that matter as well.
Okay, so if you've created a story then of an event, you've done it on Instagram, how do you get that over to your Facebook?
On your Instagram story, there'll be a little something in the corner. I think on Instagram, it's three little dots. It's kind of like how you'd access a menu, and it'll let you save the clip, the picture, or the entire story. You download it, and then you just upload it to one of the other platforms.
And then will it disappear in 24 hours on the other platforms as well?
No, there it will live forever. So that's where you want to decide if you want to. Well, I mean, or you can go back and delete it. Actually, yeah. Facebook does have expiring posts now. You can have it go away. But traditionally, anything you post on Facebook will be there until it's not.
All right.
Until you delete it.
For organizations that have produced a video and they've put it up on YouTube promoting their event, how can they add add a button to that video that they can touch that will take them through, say, to ticket sales?
YouTube has a list of approved links that you can actually put in videos. It's not a very long list. It's primarily there so that creators, which is what YouTube calls their community that creates the videos, can make money on YouTube. So there are a few sites where they, you know, if you have special t-shirts you sell or things like that. That being said, the tradition for YouTube is in your video, you can either have the link typed out, or you can also tell people it's in the comments. And people are pretty used to or not in the comments, but in the description. People are pretty used to scrolling down below a YouTube video to get the actual link. And down there, you can put any link you want.
Right. Wow, you've got so much information. I just want to ask you, Jerry, if people are to contact you at your office, I mean, who's your avatar? Who are you looking to speak to?
Well, our agency, the agency that I work for, we handle anybody and everybody. We primarily have clients in Seattle and Nashville. But the beauty of technology these days is we can be absolutely anywhere. And that's Mastodon Media. We have, like I said, a variety of clients. We have organizations. We have restaurants. We have nonprofits. We have a chain of collision centers, you know, just about everything. Personally, I am... My goal is to help small business owners and nonprofits, groups that don't have a budget to hire an agency but still need social media help. And that's kind of the idea behind the YouTube channel is I want to help as many people as I can and just put that value and that content out there and, you know, help people without taking away time from my kids, you know, because I can't spend all day on the phone and the internet with a bunch of people. But YouTube allows me to kind of, you know, mass produce that content. So.
Very good. This has been incredibly informative for our listeners. And if people want to reach out to you and contact you to continue the conversation, let's just run through your contact information, starting with your YouTube channel.
Yeah, you can get everything at 5minutesocialmedia.com. Just spell out five, F-I-V-E, minutesocialmedia.com. And then on most of the social networks, I'm at Mr. Jerry Potter, M-R-J-E-R-R-Y. P-O-T-T-E-R. That's one of those things that us social media geeks like to have is the same username on all the platforms.
All right. Well, we can't thank you enough for sharing your expertise with us here today, Jerry. Our guest has been Jerry Potter, CMO, Chief Marketing Officer at Mastodon Media, also the host of 5 Minute Social Media on YouTube. You can check that channel out. And if you want to get a hold of Jerry, we'll have his contact information in our show notes at the end of this episode now. Jerry, we always like to put our guests on the spot and ask at the end of each interview if you have any kind of a special offer that you might consider making our listeners.
A special offer.
Yeah.
boy, that is on the spot. You know, the funny thing is I'm at the stage in my consulting where I have been just trying to, you know, get out and help as many people as I can without worrying about what's coming back. But one of the things that I do right now is I offer a full social media audit and analysis where I will go through all of your social media channels and your website and analyze them for what's working, what's not working, what is mobile optimized, what needs to be mobile optimized. And I usually do that for $200. I'd be happy to, if any of your listeners want to reach out and mention events with benefits, I'd be happy to do that for $100.
Wow.
And I write it all up in a report. Why, was that too low?
No, that's great. That's a very, very, very generous discount. 50% discount. That's very generous.
Yeah. And I'll write everything up in a report and really try and come up with, you know, things that will help you for your strengths. Like if I'm helping somebody, you know, for example, I was helping a photographer who hates being on camera, ironically enough. And, you know, she said, I don't want to be on camera at all. And I said, well, that's tough in this day and age. But, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, being on Snapchat and Instagram stories is probably not for you. So we'll think about something else.
All right. One final question. I just don't know what I'm thinking here. Kind of wearing a couple of hats. I'm a small business owner, but also work full-time in the nonprofit space as a fundraising auctioneer. Do you have to have somebody hired full-time managing all your social media, or is this kind of a one-off kind of a thing where they can come to a company like yours, you guys get people set up, and then it's kind of goes on auto-run after that, or what do you recommend?
I think, well, the whole principle behind 5 Minute Social Media is that somebody can do a great job on their own social media in a few hours a week. I don't think it has to be a full-time job at all. That being said, I could pick a pen up off the table next to me and I could run a social media, you know, I could spend 40 hours a week doing social media, you know, for this pen that I'm holding, as dumb as that sounds. So social media is all about what you put into it. The more time you have, the better. That being said, I do think that you can do it in a few hours a week if that's what you have. And that's better than not doing it at all, because at some point social proof is going to be everything. You know, it used to be if you didn't have a website, people didn't take you seriously as a company. And soon, if you don't have at least okay social media, people will start to kind of wonder what you're hiding.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, Jerry. We appreciate it. And I hope this helps generate some interest in your business and your company. And certainly it's going to generate interest in your excellent YouTube channel, once again called 5 Minute Social Media. And we thank you very much for joining us here today on Events with Benefits. Thanks, Jerry.
Yes. Thank you, Ian, Renee, and Danny. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the show this week. For show notes, special offers, or to listen to previous episodes, you can visit us at eventswithbenefits.com. Please also consider subscribing to our podcast on iTunes. And if you enjoyed the show, do us a favor and write us a review while you're there. If you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at hosts@eventswithbenefits.com. We'll see you next time.